When my husband Bill and I lived up north, especially during our graduate years in Chicago, I dreaded the days approaching December. By a little after 4 o'clock, it was pitch black dark, and the sun didn't come up till after 7 a.m. And often up there in the Midwest, cloudy skies obscured the sun and the moon, often for days or weeks or even months at a time. Those of you who come from the north know what I mean. Those of you who come from the south don't have a clue. As the darkness gains on the light, it is easy to fall prey to depression and loss of joy. Every day after December 22nd, I remember counting the minutes that were added to the light that was coming. It is in the darkness that our fear and anxieties often come alive. The Lord knows that there is a lot of darkness in the world and in our lives. The darkness is on display every day in the news. There seems to be little joy. Homegrown terrorists in San Bernardino, California. Unjust killings of African-American men in Chicago. Corrupt police. Key legislators in New York found guilty of massive bribery and fraud. Millions of desperate refugees fleeing war, unending war and violence, and being turned away from refuge. A presidential hopeful calling for the ban on all of those of the Islamic faith from entering our country. I'm beginning to limit the amount of time that I spend reading the newspaper, listening to it on the radio, and that's even public radio. I don't even watch TV news anymore. When Robert Louis Stevenson was a child, he was seated by a window at nightfall watching a lamplighter light the gas lights in the streets below. His nanny came in the room and asked him what that man was doing, asked him what he was doing. And Stevenson replied, "I'm watching a man make holes in the darkness." For people living in darkness, that image of one making holes in the darkness is of one of joy and hope. Here is the heart of Advent, God poking holes in the darkness. While we are waiting for the light to come into our lives, we do not always remember what the light is like. Many people with clinical depression do not even remember what joy feels like. In a world of injustice and disasters, we forget the world that God intends. The prophet Isaiah in chapter 61 tells us of the joy God's anointed one who is coming into the world will bring. The Spirit of the Lord is upon him. He will bring good news to the poor. He will heal the brokenhearted. He will free captives. He will comfort all that mourn. He loves justice. He will see that those who have been wronged will be given their due. When God's anointed breaks into the world, the kingdom of God will be visible. The kingdom of God looks like this. The poor will have enough to live on. Those who are broken in spirit will be made whole. Those who are in bondage to whatever holds them captive will be set free. Those who grieve will be comforted. The lame and the outcast will find safety. Justice will be the norm for all, and all old wrongs will be set right. Those who are starving will have plenty to eat, and the rich will live within bounds that will sustain the earth. Judges will be just and fair. Black lives really will matter, and the weakest and the lowest of society will be honored and cherished. The kingdom of God, for which we all hope, runs so counter to reality that it often seems impossible. Yet, it is to this kingdom that John the Baptist is witness. God is poking holes in the darkness of the world with the coming of Jesus, God incarnate, the Anointed One. Jesus, in his life and ministry, shows us how one lives in the kingdom. We hear this in Luke chapter 4 when Jesus begins his ministry. And this is actually his mission statement. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, he says, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year, acceptable year of the Lord. Well, if Jesus has come and brought about the kingdom, why are we still living in darkness? Why is there poverty, sickness, war, conflict, injustice? Those are really good questions. We believe it is because God's kingdom is, as Dr. Frederick Buechner says, not a place, of course, but a condition. Kinship, he says, might be a better word. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, Jesus taught us to pray. Insofar as here and there and now and then God's kingly will is being done in various ways among us, even at this moment, there the kingdom has already come. Last week we heard that John the Baptist announced God's kingdom was arriving with a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. Remember Scrooge? We explored what true repentance looks like, a complete turn away from all that keeps us from doing God's will. When we do, big, bold letters, do God's will, we are living in the kingdom of God. John does not mince words in our gospel lesson this morning as he confronts the crowd who gathered at the river. They long for a renewed life of hope, peace, and joy. But his first words are not crowd pleasers. You brood of vipers, bear fruits worthy of repentance. He tells the Judeans that just because they can trace their lineage to Abraham, they are not immune to judgment. Even now, he said, the axe is lying at the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Remember, true repentance means not only a change of heart, but, remember last week, a change of behavior. And the crowd asked him, what shall we do? Jesus tells them what to do. He tells them to love their neighbors by doing charity and justice. Whoever has two coats, only two coats, must share with anyone who has none. Whoever has food must do likewise. Now, if that is not a prescription for solving worldwide crisis of extreme poverty and income inequities, I don't know what it would be. Then those who know that they have lived privileged lives based on political power and might dare to ask what they should do. The despised tax collectors, who were appointed by the powerful and rich, used their positions of privilege to extort money from those who lived in Roman-occupied territories, lining their own pockets. John's simple answer, but powerful to these tax collectors, was, collect no more than the amount prescribed for you. Soldiers from the occupying Roman army also have the courage to ask what they should do to receive redemption. John's answer is, do not extort money from anyone by threats or false accusation, and be satisfied with your wages. This is radical stuff. John is saying that the kingdom of God, ushered in with the baptism of Jesus Christ, will judge everyone by the way that they love kindness, do justice, and walk humbly with God. Hope, peace, and joy are found in caring for the least among us, working to root out systemic injustice and living simple lives of gratitude and generosity. Now this morning, we're doing something a little radical in worship. We have an opportunity to practice doing justice. We're going to try to work on dealing with a root cause of injustice. Some of you know that Florida leads the country in injustice for children. Last year, Florida arrested more than 12,000 children for minor misdemeanors, and these children are branded for life. In Broward County, a child kicked a soccer ball into a neighbor's yard. He went over to get it and was charged with trespassing. Now, as an adult, he was applied to be a foster parent for his niece and was denied because of that arrest. In Pinellas, Johnny Watson's son, they attend Shiloh Missionary Baptist Church in Largo, who is on the autism spectrum, was arrested at school at 12 years old for hugging a girl who didn't want to be hugged. He graduated from high school, but cannot get any work outside of being a dishwasher because of this offense when he was 12. And we've heard stories from you in this congregation. You know children and young people and adults who have had these experiences. Some of you have had children who were privileged to not be arrested and got the help that they needed. You all know that the criminal justice research team of FAST has been working to reduce the number of children being arrested for minor misdemeanors in the county and in the state of Florida. FAST, Faith and Action for Strength Together, and our sister organizations in Florida have helped introduce a bill in the Florida Senate that will ensure that all counties in the state will be mandated to provide a non-arrest option, we sometimes call them civil citations, for children. Unfortunately, we seem to have been blocked by Senate Representative McBurney from Duval County in introducing a bill, a companion bill, in the Florida House of Representatives. A bill asking that all counties do this has already been introduced into the Florida Senate with a number of senators signing on co-signers. This bill will save the lives of children. Some of our Justice Ministry Network members now are going to help you sign a petition that's going to go to Representative McBurney. And, you know, of course, I can't make you do this, but it would be for those that are able, we would be grateful if you would sign this, your name and your address. And it will make a huge difference for the children of the state of Florida if we can get this bill introduced into the House. It cannot proceed unless we have both a Senate and a companion House bill. Representative Roussan and a number of other representatives have agreed to be co-signers once the bill has been introduced in the committee. Keisha is going to play some hymns for us while our petition is being passed around. If you have questions about the bill and the work that we're doing to increase civil citation, please see me after. I've got more information than you ever wanted. And
there are also fact sheets that are attached here close to
that you can take with you. Yeah.
I don't know that I have enough for everyone, but one couple or so.
Yeah, or pick them up after worship. Yeah, we can make more copies.
Thank you.
John the Baptist is witnessing to the light that is breaking into our dark world. That light, that amazing, extraordinary revelation of God in Jesus Christ, brings the kingdom of God into our existence. Advent is the time to sharpen our awareness of God acting in our time and in our lives. Even as the days get shorter, we've got one more week. And the darkness of the night increases. I am reminded each time I light the Advent candles on our dining room table that God's light is already here. All we need to do is look around at the signs of the kingdom of God. Every time we experience joy and gratitude for life, every time acts of kindness and compassion are shared, every time we act for justice on behalf of those who are marginalized and left out, every time we see signs of peace breaking into our world, here is the kingdom of God, and we are members of that kingdom. Keep your eyes on the light. Expect it to come. Embrace it with your whole heart. Listen, as we get closer to Christ's birth, to the voice of John the Baptist calling each of us to love kindness, to do justice, and to walk in harmony with God. Experience the radical joy of Advent in God's divine justice. Let us pray. God of redemption and grace, come into our hearts. Lighten our darkness and empower us to love our neighbors with compassion. Act to right wrongs and to love you more deeply. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Let us now stand and affirm our faith by saying together words from the Presbyterian brief affirmation of faith. You'll find those.